Erin was telling us about her son and her daughter, and how her son was such a innocent, sweet, lovable child, and how her daughter was such a self-confident, capable child from the very beginning. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today about just ramblings. So, as Ellen was talking about her children, she was looking at Little Love, and she was looking at her kittens, and she was looking at Rex, and she was looking at us monks here at the monastery. And she was thinking how her children were so beautiful. Her children were so wonderful, so loving, so fantastic. And, of course, we came in second, third, and fourth, if at all, you know. But that's all right. That's all right. Now, why is it that parents have an instinctual love for their children? Why is it parents, and I'm saying parents, generic, why is it parents' children can do no wrong? Have you ever noticed that? Parents' children can do no wrong. That's my child. He couldn't have done that. He doesn't do that sort of thing. No way, you know. Or, you know, I believe he did do that, you know, because he's a little scamp. Now, why is he a scamp? Well, who in the family is his role model? Is his mother a little scamp? Is his father a little scamp? Is his older brother a scamp, you know? Or is the visiting uncle or relative or friend or neighbor a scamp? And is he taking after them as a role model? We have to be so careful of what role models we allow in our family for our children to emulate. Because if we don't, we're going to find that those role models that we sort of smiled at because they were an adult are not funny in a child. A child that does things that an adult does. Now, if a child were to take a sip of beer, you say, oh, isn't that cute? But it's not cute at all. It's a very poor thing to do when a child's old enough to make his own decision on that. But what is it we all have said when we took our first sip of beer? Yick. Yick. And our first cigarette. Yick. You know. The first time we ever did these things. Now, why did we continue? Because our role model seemed to be enjoying it. So, take a cigarette. Long puff. And then blowing smoke rings. Oh my goodness, you know, playing games with the smoke and things like that. They do everything to make it alluring and to make it attractive. And then we wonder why the children do it. And we say, oh, Uncle George, you blow smoke rings so beautifully. Oh, how did you learn to do that? Practice, huh? Lots of practice. And you don't do it. We probably don't even smoke in your family. But the kids say, oh, she thinks Uncle George blowing smoke rings is so beautiful. You know, we'll do it too. Now, what is the greatest thing for a children's learning experience, aside from listening within? What is the greatest thing for a children's learning experience? The four-letter word. It is his peer. Others who are his same age and in the same category, and those he plays with, she plays with. Whoever they play with, that is their peer. And that is their role model. That is the thing they want to do. Now, when the kids take their first cigarette, and the older, not the older kid, but the more advanced kid, he takes it and smokes it, pretends that he likes it, because he wants to be like his adults, you know. And so the other children, wanting to be like their peer, like him, try to smoke it too. And they'll cough and so forth. And, you know, I did that too when I first started smoking, you know. It's part of the game, you know. It's part of the game. We do things like that. Now, what would nature say to you? What would nature say to you if you took a puff of a cigarette and you coughed and you didn't like it? What would nature say to you? What would nature say to you,
Stop
Sylvia?
It.
Leave it alone. Yeah. Stop it. Don't touch it anymore. That's not what you want. You see? And what does nature say to you, Sylvia, when you have eaten 3 big bowls of ice cream?
Stop it!
Too much.
Too much, too much! And almost, I don't want to see a bowl of ice cream again, ever. Now, that's smart. But, you see, we don't listen to nature. We don't listen. When we do things excessively or anyway, we don't listen when nature talks to us. How does nature talk to you? Ingeborg, how does nature talk to you?
Coming up a feeling of not liking it anymore.
That's right. It says, let it alone. You don't like it anymore. It's not what you want. Now, why does nature talk like that? Why doesn't nature just say, now you just bide your time. You'll like it after time. You just hang in there with those cigars and the cigarettes and pipes and stuff, and with that too much ice cream and stuff. Yeah, and after a while, you'll like it. And then you'll take it in moderation, you know, and maybe you won't. But what is it all about? What is it all about? It's all about we are not trained by ourselves or our family or our parents or our peers to listen within. Now you say to Johnny, you're the little boy, Joey, and you say to Johnny, Johnny, what you doing? Just a minute, I'm thinking. Well, what are you thinking about, Johnny? Just a minute, Joey, I'm thinking. Okay. Now this is how we do it. Well, what did you do, Johnny? Well, I thought. What did you think about? I thought what I should do to do this, how I should do this, how I should lift this big block of concrete, you know, concrete block into the coaster so we can pull it home. Because it's right here in the middle of no place and nobody wants it and we can have it. We'll take it. I could use a nice concrete block at home. What could you use it for? I don't know, but I just could use it, you know. Well, how could... Johnny, what did you decide how to lift it? Well, here's what I decided. If you take one side and I take the other, perhaps we can lift it. Or we'll take the coaster, lay it on its side, tip the concrete block over so it's half into the coaster, and then we tilt the coaster back up, and there it is, all done. All done. Let the coaster leverage do it. He wouldn't say leverage, but let the coaster do it, you know. Now, where did the first idea of how to do that come from, you know? It came because they learned to listen within. Now, if parents would teach their children to learn to listen within, if the teachers in school would just say, class, quiet. Oh, go to hell, you know? If the teacher would say to the class, class, we're going to take a few moments of listening within to find out how to do these problems. What? We're going to, inside of you is the greatest teacher in the world waiting to teach you how to do those problems. Can you imagine what would happen if the teacher would go along on that line with her students and what would happen to the students? What happened to Johnny? Johnny said to Joey, Joey, just a minute, I'm thinking. I'm thinking. Well, what are you thinking about? Well, just a minute, I don't know what I'm thinking about until I'm done thinking. Now, let me think. And if parents would just say, okay, let's think this through together. Let's think this through together. Said, here's how you do this, and this is what you do here. See, that's not what the kid wants to know. How did the parent come to that conclusion? Because they thought about it. How did the first person to come up with the idea? Come up with the idea. They thought about it. So when we teach our children to think, in school, if the teacher wouldn't say, shut up, sit down, in your places. You know, nobody likes that kind of teacher anyhow. But if the teacher would be like this, okay, I have asked a very special person to come into our class today. Now, let's all sit quietly in our chairs and let's be ready to welcome him. Okay, now I want you all to close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, say, welcome, secret mystery person. And then I said, keep your eyes closed. Now, this secret mystery person is in each of you. Some of you have gotten to know him, and others would like to know him. But the secret mystery person in you knows all the answers to everything. And all you want to learn to do is to talk to the secret mystery person within you and discuss the circumstances and learn how to learn the problem, how to learn the solution. Oh, well, hey, that's, you know. And now, the teacher would not do that once, but every single day at the beginning of class. Instead of the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, you do that. Every day at the beginning of class, close your eyes now. Let's invite that secret inner self to come out and give us all the answers. And I expect all of you to get 100 on every quiz. Wow, would we like that, you know? And so, if the teacher were to do that day after day after day after day, the kids wouldn't realize that it was sinking in. They wouldn't realize that this inner genius, this inner teacher, this inner magnificence, this inner awareness, this inner mind, this inner God, this inner goodness, whatever you want to call it, is there. And at first they wouldn't tell their parents about it because it wouldn't mean anything to them. But then as they begin to apply it, as the months go on, as they begin to apply it in just little things that they know that they know that they know. And the teacher would say, "All right, class, we're going to have a little test today with our special teacher." "Oh, hey, okay. Now, before you came in class, I had 3 pennies. And 1 penny was a 1945 penny, 1 penny was a 1960 penny, and 1 penny is a 2010 penny. Okay? And now, I have hidden them in the room. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to divide you up into 3 groups. Now, you, the first 15 kids, you are going to look for the 1910 penny. And you, second group, you're going to look for the 1940 penny. And you, the third group, you're going to look for the 2011 penny. Okay, now, well, how do you, and you may not leave your seat. You may not leave your seat. You must look for it in your mind.
Wow.
Now, let's see who can find their penny the first. Now, you can be together as a group. You can even talk together if you want. But the best thing is if you just quietly go inside to your teacher. And yeah, anyone can help your own group, you know. Mm-hmm. But, okay, now go. Okay, teacher. Yeah. The penny is under the flower pot there. Oh. Okay, you go over and pick up the flower pot and you tell us what penny that is. That's the 40 penny. What penny are you looking for? The 1910. Oh, you got the wrong penny. Put it back. You know. And the other group was looking for the 1940 penny. They said, "We now know where it is." Well, isn't that interesting? You now know where it is. So how smart you are. So why don't you help the other children find where their pennies are? And so all of them start looking, start thinking. I think I know where the 2011 penny is. Well, I don't want you to think you know. I want you to know that you know. Do you know that you know? Are you capable of saying, "I know where that 2011 penny is"? Yes. Smart Alec stands up and says, "Yes." And teacher says, "Sit down. I told you not to stand up." Okay, now, tell us where it is. It's in the little vase on your desk that doesn't have any flowers in it. All right, you may get up and take a look. So the boy gets up and takes a look, and there it is. And teacher, then, and everybody says, "How did you know that?" He says, "Something told me inside where it was." "Well, how did that something tell you?" "Because I listened. I listened." Well, can we listen too? Sure. Everybody can listen. That's what we're learning every single day, the teacher said. Every single day we're learning better and better how to listen within for the answer to anything we want to know. Because anything we want to know is already known, and all we want to do is connect with it. We just be aware of it. Oh, teacher, can we do that game again? Not today. We'll do it another day when you're not expecting it. Because when you're expecting it, you get yourself all keyed up. And and you think you know it all. Now, let's plan on doing our work now. But, you know, you can use that wisdom within on all things. You can use it on your spelling tests. You can use it on your math test. You can use it on everything. So, just use it. And they say, okay, thanks, teacher. And the two students really learn. And they really have great wisdom coming out from within them because the teacher knew how to teach. And the children knew how to listen. We can all do that if we want. Practice it. You'll find that a great blessing comes from it. So have a lovely day and practice what you do all along the way, and you'll find that it always works. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.